Hello and welcome to SEO Rankings Do Follow podcast. Here we hold regular talks with SEO and digital marketing experts to discuss hot SEO topics and share actionable insights with the SEO community. So subscribe to stay on top of everything going on in SEO. In today's episode, we're going to be covering advanced technical SEO tips for content localization and user experience. To help us break this topic down, we are joined by Daniel Wood, with over 10 years of experience in driving organic growth for global businesses. He is the SEO director at GA Agency, which is the award-winning digital marketing agency in the UK, specializing in international SEO, paid media, and more. Welcome, Daniel. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. Great to be here. Thanks.
Awesome. If you don't mind, I just want to jump straight in and find out more about you, about your background, how you got into SEO. So please, Daniel, tell us the ins and outs of your journey.
Yeah, so I've been in SEO, as you say, just over 10 years now. I kind of started straight out from university. I started as a copywriter. I worked at a company that did copywriting for print magazines, but also then for digital experiences as well. And it was immediately that the digital side that kind of just drew my attention, especially about SEO, because as soon as I realized that my kind of boss at the time was telling me, okay, you can insert these keywords in this certain piece of text, and then you can see in Google search results how that impacts your potential kind of rankings on that website, increasing its position. And that just kind of immediately clicked with me. I was like, wow, okay, that's great. I can physically see the results from my efforts straight away. So it was really cool to see that. And from there, I just started really learning as much as I could about SEO. So I would be reading articles wherever I could find them. I'd be writing, watching a lot of videos similar to this, but a long time ago now. Yeah, absorbing as much knowledge as I could. And you start learning a little bit about the technical side as well as the content and how maybe, if you've got, say, multiple pages on a website that are very similar and you start learning how canonical tags impact SEO, and maybe on the international side, you start learning how hreflang tags impact it. And yeah, all those kind of things just started really clicking with me and I really got into it all. And since then, I kind of just moved into different roles. I went in-house for a period working on the client side, and now I'm back on the agency side. And I think that time on the client side also helped kind of my career and how I can empathize now with clients and what they're looking for and how to help them in the best way. Yeah, now I'm at GA Agency, where I've been for a couple of years now, and heading up the international team. We've got over 45 of us. So it's a big team across 17 to 20 kind of languages now in-house that we optimize for. It's a really great place to be and really enjoying life at GA Agency.
Thank you, Daniel. I also had a similar journey. Well, I didn't go into the SEO as much as you did because I'm still on the content part of the marketing team, but definitely it's an exciting process once you figure out what SEO does to you, all the keywords that you have in your articles. I wanted to find out more about GA Agency because you said you've been working there for a couple of years. Maybe you know the evolution of the GA Agency, how it went to becoming focusing on international SEO, having a big international team. You have different languages. You have 45 team members specifically working with international clients. What initially drew GA Agency to specialize in SEO internationally? How has this focus maybe shaped the approach, the direction of the development of the agency? Could you comment on that?
Yeah, obviously before my time when I joined the agency, but it resonates with me anyway from my experiences previous to joining GA Agency, is the fact that from experience, the founder Guido himself, but also my own experience, a lot of agencies kind of really struggle to support international businesses. They might to perform really, really well in a market. So a UK agency might be able to support a business in the UK really, really well, but then really struggle to kind of expand that into different markets if their clients want to. And that's kind of how GA Agency kind of grew, is that we realized that that's a service that agencies are really struggling with. So we wanted to kind of do that as well as we can. And I guess the reason why agencies struggle with it is a hard thing to do well. Our approach is to build a team of natives in-house. And a lot of agencies might try to do things differently by using translation services or outsourcing freelancing, using freelancers and things like that. We try to avoid that as much as possible. And one of the great things about London as a city is probably the most multicultural city in the world. And if you need a Japanese speaking content writer for the Japanese market, you can probably put a job out there and get one and get some CVs. And we have a great success at that. Very occasionally, we can't find someone local to London. And in those circumstances, we do then go into those different markets and get people hired across Europe, for instance, as well. And so, yeah, that's how we kind of build our team. And this allows us to really understand local landscapes in terms of the kind of competition that's out there online, understanding the trends as well in different markets. You know, the trends for fashion, say, in the Japanese market might be very, very different to the trends for fashion in the UK market or other European markets. And then also that terminology. So again, going back to content, even if you're talking about the UK and the US, the terms we use for items of clothing or different things are very, very different. So when people are searching across those different countries, you've got to use the correct terminology. And I think just from experience, what we've seen is when we're working with our clients and we have those local insights that we're able to share, they're really, really appreciative. And they understand that without that kind of native experience, and they wouldn't be able to get those kind of insights from anywhere else, really.
So you basically touched on the reason why it's so crucial for businesses to have an international SEO strategy. You can't just simply send it to an AI tool or somebody who just translates without having a native proofread that stuff. Maybe even somebody who lives in that area. Because I know, like, even in Germany, for example, even in like English speaking countries, you have so many different options. Like if you want to target the UK, you have to have a certain language there. You also have to take into account, like, for example, Australia it's coming up on winter. And we're coming up on summer. So that is something also that is very different. What I wanted to ask about your experience, what are the most common challenges for companies that fat companies face when localizing content for different markets? You already sort of touched on that, but I wanted to have more focus on what could go wrong for those who ignore having international SEO strategy in place.
I guess, as you kind of touched on, and the terminology is the number one thing that can go wrong. And you might think it's, you know, in some instances, it might be fairly innocent. So like, let's say the UK will use a word jumper for a sweatshirt in America. So they're fairly innocent kind of changes. But we do have instances where, for example, in the Portuguese language, if you were searching for t-shirts for girls in Portuguese, absolutely innocent. But if you just replicated that exact same language into the Brazilian Portuguese, it would be quite an insulting kind of term that you would use in Brazil. So you want to really, really avoid those kind of things. And that's the number one challenge.
We talked about localized content. So I understand, like, you have different words, you use proper terms for the region, like jumper, like as you said. What about technical SEO? How does that come into play? Let's discuss it more about that, because I want to dive deeper than black letters on a white background. So what do you think about when you talk about technical SEO? Maybe you're going to give us a definition.
Yeah, so when it comes to technical SEO, it's the fundamental building block, I suppose, of all websites. Certainly when we're talking about content localization, probably the most fundamental element is the domain structure and the URLs that build up that website. So we recently conducted a study with SE Ranking. I can't remember how many markets it was now. I think it was over 17 markets. And we looked at keywords in all of those markets and to understand what sort of websites were ranking best for really competitive keywords. And we discovered that in pretty much all markets, the ccTLDs were the ones that were ranking highest. So ccTLDs are country code domains. So for example, .de for Germany, .at for Austria, et cetera, whereas .com is a generic top level domain. So that comes as no real surprise. It is the number one kind of geo-targeting signal we can give to search engines when we are building websites. But those sorts of websites are also really hard to maintain. If you're a business that's operating in 20 different markets, having 20 different top-level domains, managing the content in that way, it's not easy. It's also not easy to optimize all of those websites as well as you can SEO, whether it's the kind of content itself, but also then the digital PR side, the technical SEO side, managing it across different domains is really difficult. Whereas if you use subfolders or subdomains, it's a little bit simpler to kind of bring that all together. Certainly subfolders. So subfolders was the second most kind of successful structure. And then subdomains, very looked down on, I think, in SEO circles for one reason or another. But our study actually found that in Switzerland in particular, particular, where we do have that kind of three different languages, actually subdomains perform just as well as any other structure. So that was a really interesting element of the study as well. And then I suppose just moving away from that, if we wanted to go deeper into the technical SEO side, you really need to have extremely careful maintenance of hreflang tags and canonicals when it comes to international SEO content localization. If you do have any errors when it comes to that, those kind of things, you will see poor results overall.
You mentioned that you have a large international team. And I was wondering, in terms of the skills that this team has, does it go beyond just writing content? Because you focus on technical SEO. You can't just do that by just knowing a language. You have to know the intricacies of that language and the SEO of that language. So my question is, what strategies do you recommend for handling SEO in languages for non-Latin alphabets, such as Arabic or Mandarin or any other? Well, how does your team take that into account? Please comment, Daniel.
That's a really interesting one. And I suppose the fundamentals don't change, like the cultural nuance, understanding the language, of course, they factor into it. Probably even more so when we are talking about non-Latin alphabets. That kind of goes without saying, you know, if I'm looking at a website in German or in Italian, and I can probably pick up an error if I can see one. If I'm looking at a website that's got Japanese content, I absolutely cannot pick up an error. There's just no way. So having that native experience and native team that's constantly looking at that website, picking up any kind of mistakes is really, really crucial. And probably from a technical perspective, that URL localization as well is hugely important. Again, for the user experience in those native countries, they don't want to see a Latin alphabet when they're browsing their websites. They would much rather see that kind of the alphabet that they're used to. I think that kind of translates into the content itself as well. And it's very easy for errors to occur when you are using those non-Latin alphabets. So the avoidance of errors by having that native team on it and making sure that they're checking those pages is really important.
When you say that a native team is checking those pages, do you mean that they check the user experience, the content in terms of like how users react to it? Do you have the skills to open up any web page and understand the technical setup behind it without knowing a language?
Yes, absolutely. The technical side in the background, you absolutely can analyze that without knowing the language. However, our tech team will often speak to then our native speakers in that market. There might be some URLs, for instance, that aren't consistent across canonical tags or hreflang tags. And there's no way the tech team knows which URL is the right URL, for instance. So they need that native support to make sure that they provide the right recommendations and insights.
In terms of result measurement, like as the SEO performance, how do businesses measure the success of their localized campaigns, localized content? What is the number one thing you look out for? Is it number one answer in SEO? It depends.
Yeah, a little bit. I guess the thing that a lot of businesses may be just a bit naive to, they might see that their performance is incredibly strong in their main native market that they operate in. And I guess if they want to expand or start doing SEO in a new market, they might expect the similar results very, very quickly. And that's not always the case. You have to kind of respect that local landscape and competition that's already there. If you're able to start optimizing in that market, it's not going to start, you know, from day one. You're not going to be on page one for your target keywords. You need to build up those optimizations. You need to build up that link profile, for instance, from that specific market. All of the content that kind of surrounds that as well needs to be optimized over a period of time. The internal link strategy that you put in place, it doesn't happen overnight. So absolutely, that understanding that you need to look at each market individually and not expect the kind of same results. Yeah, appreciate the insights that come your way, I suppose, from that native team who are able to get under the skin of that market and really provide the best analysis and strategies to eventually get you to where you want to be in that local market, but appreciating it doesn't happen overnight.
We had a conversation with a Brazilian agency who was on the Brazilian market for, I think, like 8 years, and they're doing really well on the South American market, Latin market. And they only like 2 years ago started going, entering the US market specifically, the North American market, I think it was. And I was asking, like, do any of the things that you worked on before, do they help you? Do you have like something that is like tried and tested method that can be applied easily? And unfortunately, no, they said like, we have the confidence, we have experience, but like everything still needs to be tested for every single campaign that they do, even though they have all this experience behind them and success, knowing like what brings results is still like a very, very tricky situation.
Yeah, that's a really good good point. That's very true. That's true for native languages. You know, what works on one website won't necessarily even work on a similar website in the same country, especially when you're then crossing into different countries. The same strategy that you had in the UK is not necessarily going to work for France as well. The search results pages might be very, very different. You know, the features that are there on the search results pages, and therefore the way you kind of target those search features might be very different from market to market.
We also had a conversation with Adriana Stein, who does international SEO in Germany. She was telling us, like, the German market, one of its peculiarities is that they love reading information. They love details. They love reading that fine print always. When you see a German landing page and it has, like, I don't know, 1,000 words in it, it's perfectly fine. So really, you have to do your homework and understand what works and try different stuff. I wanted to transition to a question about what tools or technologies do you find indispensable for managing large-scale international SEO campaigns? What helps you get through the week? How do you start your day? Is there like an Excel folder or file that you have managing everything? Is there a tool that you go to?
So, I mean, it would be a remiss of me to not mention SE Ranking. First of all, we do really like the tool. It's the number one tool we have for the keyword tracking. Everyone across our team uses it in their local markets, and it's a really good way to, it's probably the best user experience I've come across for looking at those kind of different markets. So yeah, we really like SE Ranking for the keyword tracking side of things. And then on the technical side, certainly Screaming Frog is probably our number one tool for crawling websites in general, and then OnCrawl as well for those kind of really deeper crawls that we might need to do, and scheduling crawls using OnCrawl is a really useful tool. Fortunately, we do have a great tech team, and I'm really grateful to have them. They're the ones who own those kind of tools and are also kind of looking into different ways to automate different elements of our technical processes. And so yeah, I kind of defer to those guys as well a lot.
Yeah, you just mentioned automation, and this is actually my next question. Like, with the evolvement of AI, machine learning, how do you see the future of technical SEO evolving? Or how do you see maybe the processes at GA Agency transforming? What is your vision?
So I think you said it there. So the fundamentals, in my opinion, of technical SEO will not change too much. They've not changed over the past 10 years, and I don't see them changing too much in the next 10 years. But it's how we do our work that might change. So the fact that we need to make sure from a technical perspective, Google can, or other search engines as well, can crawl our websites and understand our content and be able to then index our website as efficiently as possible. That's always going to be the fundamentals of technical SEO. And of course, then the further you go into it, the more it impacts our rankings with different elements of technical SEO. But probably the more important part of the question is around how it changes moving forward. Again, as I mentioned in the last question, really fortunate with our team. They are kind of really active, looking for new ways to utilize AI to streamline some of our processes, automating tasks and innovating the way we work. Yeah, I'm really excited to see what the next few years holds, more in the processes and how we do things, rather than, in my opinion, how it's going to change technical SEO as a service, I suppose.
What is the biggest challenge that is being ignored in technical SEO? And what is your words of advice to anybody who wants to get started going international?
Probably the biggest challenge, I guess I would phrase it this way, is even happens from SEOs as well, that I see it with other people in the industry, but it certainly happens on the client side as well, is that they kind of underestimate the impact technical SEO can have. And I think that's probably the biggest challenge. Sometimes you need to really take the client on that journey about how much of an impact technical SEO can have. It might be something, for example, like geo redirection is probably one of the biggest mistakes we see sites make from time to time. When you geo redirect users, you're also going to impact search engines when they crawl your website. They're going to get impacted by that geo redirection. So, for example, Google typically crawls from an IP in the US. And if you then automatically always redirect that crawler when it comes to your website, it's not going to be able to find your international content across different pages on your site. So that's a really fundamental mistake that we do see websites make. And again, that kind of feeds into that technical SEO, which is so important to get right. To go into the second part of your question about the kind of advice, I guess I always say to my team, read as much as you can, watch as much as you can in terms of videos and tips. I spent so much time in my kind of first 2, 3 years in SEO and just finding as many articles as I can. There's so many different beginners guides out there as well right now, like from various different websites that are really, really useful. And then using videos as well to absorb as much as you can. And then if you can, I think it's something that people say is really useful is having your own website to kind of play around with. I still have my own website right now to play around with as well. That's something that can always really help experience. Because sometimes with your client websites, you can't do the things that you can't test things in the same way that you would on your own website. It doesn't matter too much if things go wrong. So if you can have your own website that you play around with and look to test things on, that's always a good thing to do as well.
Great advice, Daniel. Thank you. I also wanted to ask, where can people find you if somebody wants to reach out to you? Is that something that you do?
Yeah, so I'm predominantly just on LinkedIn. I kind of moved away from other social profiles a few years ago, mainly from a mental health perspective. I didn't enjoy being on other social profiles. On LinkedIn, I am quite active. I post fairly regularly. You can always connect with me there.
Thank you, Daniel. So I'm going to sign off by saying that today, Daniel Wood shared with us his insights and technical expertise on content localization and user experience. Hope our listeners are already thinking about how to apply these insights to their work. Thank you, Daniel, for taking the time to be here with us. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe and join the next episode of the DoFollow podcast.